So now is officially the nightclub episode.
Sorry, the tinfoil hat stays on during sex.
Damn. That's good.
Yeah.
I love y'all.
I love you, bud.
Yeah, Bob. I've been giving some inside looks at our podcast into the fourth wall.
Oh, yeah.
Timothy. No, it's not the same person though. This is fun. I like this shit.
Hey guys, this is Tim. He's from the Average Podcast.
Okay. Nice to meet
Tim,
you in person,
Tim. I think Tim's frozen. I don't know.
He is frozen.
Hello, Timmy.
Maybe that's his background.
Oh, Timmy.
No, it's me. Can you
hear
me?
Hello, Timmy.
Yeah, we hear you.
Okay.
And we see a picture of you.
Yeah.
A still frame, if you will.
So
I don't know why it's frozen.
I don't know. Try to turn it off and turn it back on again.
Yeah.
Is it plugged in?
Yes, it's plugged in.
Can you beat it with a hammer?
Hey, oh, there he is.
There we go.
Sweet.
And the only
you're
time
welcome for your IT help.
Trevor, the IT guy. The only times Tim and I recorded too, we didn't get to see each other. So there we go. Yeah.
Video is new.
I saw him for the first time when we recorded.
Nice. Yeah.
I was like, look at this guy.
I got a new camera, so.
Oh, nice.
There we go. Yep.
Hell yeah.
So, Tim, you are a surprise to the nightclub. Ricky's surprise tonight. And I also have a surprise. So we about to have a full-ass house for Passion of the Christ.
Boy.
I'm loving it. You good on – and I want to – I mean, I'm just asking. You had told Tim about our – I mean, I know I have before in the past, but, like, our record times, they're extensive.
I'm prepared. Oh. I took a nap.
Okay.
Okay, cool.
There you go. No, because I didn't warn him about that. No.
I always let everyone know before they come on, we take 2 to 3 hours. I usually just say three just to give it that breathing room. And tonight is a slobber knocker. At least I think so.
But scene to scene shouldn't be too bad because.
No.
We'll get to it because most of the movie is a certain thing just happening ad nauseum, so you know there is, but man,
there was so much more like this last time I watched it that I was kind of like,
you had the yucks,
yeah.
I'm not sure how to interpret that.
I don't either.
The yucks, I did not get the yucks.
Not the yucks, like I'm laughing, but like the when I'm doing it for me, it's more of like a. Oh, like a type of thing. I don't know how to describe it, man. I've seen this movie several times, and picking up
something you didn't notice, kind of. Ooh-hoo.
And I got a lot more out of it this last. Exactly, exactly. Yeah. Tim, look, Tim.
This is my second watch.
This is my second also.
I saw it the first time, like back in 2004 when it came out. So
right, yeah, same.
Because it's not a fun watch, so.
Well, you should have watched it with us last night because it was kind of fun.
The night before last.
Night before last, right.
Yeah.
I'm going to mute myself.
We were clowning a lot. We were it was going back and forth between clowning and then Travis getting really emotional.
Oops.
Yep.
I'm not a Christian. Not a Christian.
Yeah. So you heard it from Travis's mouth. The Passion of Christ was such a great movie that him and Atheist started crying over it.
Bailey, you going to come say hi?
Hello.
This is Travis.
Hello.
I'm trying to remove my wart. I'm so sorry. I have a foot wart that I'm trying to freeze off.
Hell yeah.
Wart? I want a full video. I want to be able to watch this.
Right?
Disgusting.
Let's go.
No, dude, like
what in the hell did I walk back into?
Oh, Bailey was saying hi.
Bailey, by the way.
Hi.
No, I watch a lot of like foot surgeries and stuff. No. And like wart removals and cutting the little crustacean larvas, the little whatever you call them.
So we watch Pimple Popper religiously. I can get behind that. There was that show that came on after her called My Feet Are Killing Me with like foot surgeries and stuff. I almost passed out. I can't do that. No.
I'm a freak, dude. I like eye surgeries too. Like, some of them are too much, but like when they're going in to get the cataracts out,
mm-hmm.
Have y'all ever seen that? Y'all know what they do?
I'm not going for that.
Y'all want to know what they do?
You could tell me, but I'm not watching it.
They stick the needles like in circles around your pupil and scrape the cataract off. Like first they put some shit on it that softens it, and then they just kind of scrape it and then suck it back up through the needle.
Yeah.
Oh.
Boy, I don't feel like somebody saw that video being done and is like, I can do that.
Right? You know it, dude. There's someone psychotic enough. Definitely.
That's amazing that they can do that. But yeah, I'm not.
No.
What? He's gagging?
No.
I got my tweezers here. I'm just going to.
Oh,
yeah. Dude.
Tim, I love your fucking nail polish.
Yeah. Thank you.
Hell yeah.
I agree too. I almost brought it up the other day, but I was like, no, I'll just, you know, leave it to our movie. But...
I just started doing that more. Like, I did it in my emo phase in 2004 through 2016. And then I got a job where I work from home, so it doesn't matter.
Why the hell not?
Tom knows the nail polish.
I'm down
baby.
With it.
Hell and my wife likes it, so that's a bonus. Oh, so
hell yeah.
Get some with the glitter in it.
No, I try to like pat it down and mat it. I want it to look
matte. Yeah,
I don't want
matte,
it shiny. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
No, my wife is the one who actually brought me the polish. She's like, you should paint your nails more.
Boom. Oh, dope. We're gonna get like some nightclub logo mail art for the fourth wall or something, man.
Yeah, we do. I need some nightclub eye patches that I can put like right here.
Like fingernail art, like a little detail.
Yeah.
That would be cool. Unfortunately, they don't offer that product, but that would be cool. That would be cool. Look,
I'll go to makestickers.com and we're gonna make some little circle stickers. And you can put that on your nail and then just lacquer over it, you know?
Dude, sticker mule. They got everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's dope.
So, well, almost said the person's name.
Were you about to say Ross?
Oh, shit.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I don't think that's who it was. It's Ron Burgundy.
I would shit a brick if it was Ron Burgundy. And then I would have to go buy
it's Michael
some scotch.
St. Michael.
Michael,
from his hospital bed, you want to come talk to us about Passion of the Christ? He's like, yeah.
The greasy strangler himself.
Hey, guys.
It was actually playing at the hospital the other night.
What?
Oh, no. What?
Passion of the Christ was actually playing on the hospital. I was making a joke.
Oh, I thought you were hospital and you were like watching it.
No, no.
I was like, oh, shit. No, what happened?
Michael St. Michael was.
He's like, it just so happened it was on USA Network, yes. Travis.
I love how you can sound like him.
Oof, that's going to be hard to...
I could feast on that queen's ass all night long.
I could feast on that queen's ass all night long. I don't know. I was watching...
Pretty close.
I was watching...
I wish I could have a deep voice.
Yeah, it's cool.
That sounds good.
Just try to...
Travis,
I don't even know.
Travis, have a good voice. Mm. It's true.
You just have to go down low. You'll be like,
hey, you got a good low.
There we go.
My name's Trevor.
No, see, don't try to do that.
I don't like corn cobs or
go right. What? Go right here, like in there, like go inside.
Oh, that's true. I should have went closer to the mic. You're right.
You got it.
Tim's like, I want to play a game.
The next 20 minutes of audio is just like fucking Tibetan monk music playing in the background.
Gregorian chant.
It's
like, exactly. It's like every third or fourth Behemoth song on their album is just full of Gregorian chanting and shit.
Cody, what's wrong? Why are you over there just staring off into space? You thinking about the moon in Antarctica?
He's thinking about the moon in Antarctica for sure.
Tim, we just did a fourth wall episode where we talked conspiracy theories, and you know Modest Mouse?
Yeah.
Their album, Moon in Antarctica. Well, I brought the moon landing conspiracy, and Trev brought Antarctica conspiracies.
Don't even get me started on the moon landing. Mm-hmm. It was totally filmed by Stanley Kubrick. It's not real. We didn't land on the moon.
There we go, bitches.
Damn.
And that was kind of where I... That was
another
sort of,
one on your team, Travis.
Yeah. Yeah. I like it.
Not to derail you were going somewhere with that, but like
no, I was
go on the moon landing.
What's cool, Tim, is I went to the store and I picked up beer and gummies, some edibles. And on my way back, I was listening to The Moon in Antarctica. And then I show up for the recording and they're talking about the moon in Antarctica. And I'm like, whoa. Mm-hmm.
Just tell me why the space race was such a big deal to get somebody to the moon. And then after America did it, no one else tried again. No one else has done.
Well, India, and I think it's China. They're saying that they landed on the moon, right?
But they didn't get video of it.
No, right. Exactly. Yeah. Tim. Uh-huh. Exactly.
Why wouldn't you bring like a camera up there? If nothing else, like just literally bring a Polaroid.
Put a fucking iPhone on the goddamn rover. It's like you can film immaculately, right? Jesus Christ. I mean, come on.
Well, and we're going to get to you, Jesus, but hold on.
Right.
Yeah.
Sons of bitches. Bunch of.
I don't believe it.
They lie.
My wife gets real upset because she went to Purdue, which was Neil Armstrong was a Purdue guy.
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm his whole thing is built on a lie. So, okay.
when they came back from space and they were being interviewed, like right there at the press conference, they all looked like this. they were shell shocked. But it's like,
I'd look like that too if I ran into aliens in 1960, whatever.
See, I like that side.
I'd be like that too if Buzz Aldrin was taking advantage of me in space.
yeah, that's true.
Damn. The whole thing is, I like the other side of the moon landing conspiracy though, where it's like we did land on the moon, but we saw shit that was like, we can't go back. We can't go back now because we saw that. No.
Because Cthulhu's up there.
Yeah.
That would explain it. I don't know. Elon's going to put somebody up there, so.
Especially when Buzz Aldrin's in your ear, and he's like, I'm going to see you swing around that tropical tree. I'm going to see it happen.
Yeah, there's trees on the moon, by the way.
Trees on the moon.
We learned a lot of things.
With strippers.
Yeah.
What was that
moon?
Was it moon landing horror movie? Apollo?
Apollo
18. 18.
It's pretty good. It's a fun one.
I like it.
It wasn't that bad. I remember seeing it when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This ain't fourth wall anymore. So I guess Chuddle the Brian, I don't know if you listen to the regular feed, but we're talking to you now. You found Footage Freak. Did you enjoy Apollo 18? Let us know. We'd love to know. Where is my person? Man. My person needs to show up because we got to go. Gots to go. Got to get this.
I'm good, man. I'm chilling. It's Friday. No,
I know, but now that we got a guest here, I'm trying to get things. What you drinking, Tim?
It's gin and I'm a gin person.
What kind of guy?
I love gin. It is what is it called? It's like a Baja Caribbean Mountain Dew.
It's like a Baja Blast.
That sounds tasty.
It's real good. It's real good. Yeah. I don't know what is that called.
It's called the Indiana Special. Y'all are from Indiana, right? I'm not making
a joke. Yep.
Okay, cool.
Like, damn, Travis. Where is
Indiana, like, in relation
to the United States, Rick?
Well, I know. Yeah, but is it in North America or South America, though?
Right. In relation to what?
In relation to our location. I'm just trying to picture it on the map.
So, Ricky, what you're going to want to do is you're going to want to travel to the North Pole. And then you're going to want to go down that hole. And then you're going to travel through the hole, go about halfway, stick your head up through the ground, and there's Indiana.
Indiana's right there, ba.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So where are you guys?
Louisiana.
That's what I thought. We are directly north.
Oh!
Into the
east. It's Ross Paul.
Ross Paul.
Oh, shit.
Tim, this is the father from... What's up, Ross?
What is going on, bro?
This is the dad from Skinnamarink.
Oh, nice.
And friend of the show.
Yeah. I was actually just telling my wife I wanted to watch that movie again.
Hell yeah.
Oh, yeah? Nice. Yeah.
Why?
Well, I was waiting for someone to say it, you know. I mean, no. I'm playing. What year were you born there, Mr. Ross Paul?
1902.
Oh, so you were there in the 60s, right?
Oh, shit. Oh,
not that old.
No.
Okay.
No.
Right. They know where I was going with this, but it's in relation to our previous episode we just recorded.
Oh, yeah. Ross, you ever heard of the fruit machine?
You ever heard of the fruit machine, Ross?
Look at him.
Yes, I just learned about it.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has.
I've heard of it, but I'm trying to remember. It sounds very familiar.
Oh, yeah.
It should, eh?
Eh?
It should, eh?
Blame Canada.
I'm not saying a word until...
You know what you're talking about?
We're not going to talk about it. It's too much. But
Our other
friend...
talk about it, please.
In the 60s, the Canadian government was basically trying to fire gay people from government jobs, and they created this asinine test where they would use pupil dilation as the gauge of whether or not you were gay by showing people pictures of buff men. And
they did that shit, bro.
Crazy.
And I just learned about it and died laughing. So I was like, I got to bring this.
Canada's pretty revolutionary.
I was like, look how progressive Canada is, guys.
Canada went through the full spectrum, right?
USA! Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Now, Ross Paul, our other friend and guest tonight is from The Average Podcast. It's Tim. He's from Indiana, and he is doing the goddamn thing over there, doing movie reviews. They reviewed Skinamarink as well.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I got you. Sweet. I just had to swipe over to the right and now it shows me the grid. So I got Travis. It's almost like Tinder.
You swiped on the nightclub, baby.
Yeah, man.
Good job.
Poutine, Deadpool, Cody Co, triple by or Tim Temple by. What?
Temple by.
Temple B.
Temple
by. I know. I'm just messing around. I always say by on it's a joke. Yeah. I'm making fun of myself.
Two by.
It's my first and last name jammed together.
Cool. Oh, how do you say your last name correctly? Because I see it on Instagram and I'm like, I don't know how to say this.
You want me to say it the European way or the American way?
The American way.
The American way is Umpleby. The European way is Umpleby.
Okay. Well, you know what?
I like both.
The American way to say my last name is Blanchard and the French way is Blanchard. So I hear you, bro.
Blanchard sounds way classier. Just saying. Like, it sounds like a duke or something.
If only I liked swine. I just don't.
Right. Mine goes from pre-Jean to pre-Jean, so I much prefer pre-Jean.
Even though my last name...
just, I don't know.
What were you wearing pre-Jeans?
Yeah, it just makes me think of pre-cum and denim. And
it makes me think of adolescent mistakes.
Right? The awkwardness of puberty comes to mind, and I just hate it.
Mine is... both ways, two by.
That's true.
It's French and American or English American, whatever. Both it sounds the same no matter what. It's Boone. It's just Boone. It's French, but it's just Boone.
I wouldn't have guessed that name was French. Yeah. So I learned something.
Well, it's a mixture of Germanic and French. It's when the Normans invaded France, and that the name arose at that in that time period. And Cody.
On Ancestry, when we did our DNA test, like it showed that like fucking like 30-something% of my heritage was from the Normans. So
okay, I'm curious, cool. How many of you have done the Ancestry thing?
Me,
and Trev. My aunt has done the Ancestry thing, and that's what that's why I know something about our family. I haven't done it personally though.
Yeah. I did it because growing up, I'm sure this is like a massive American lie. My dad always told us, he was like, oh yeah, we've got Native American blood. Yeah. Like we've got that in our ancestry. And so I did the DNA test just to see if that was true. And I'm about as white as it gets. I'm like 70% English, 10% German, 10% Norwegian. Like I'm all white.
My grandma on my mom's
side. He refuses to believe
French, German, and like Norman, and 1.2% Ashkenazi Jew. And yeah, I don't remember the rest of it. And I got like, I don't know, 19% Neanderthal or some shit. I don't know. It's high.
Didn't know that showed up.
On my mom's side, my mom's mom, her family was part of the Homa tribe of Native Americans.
Oh, word.
And if you'd ever see a picture of my mom's mom, it's undeniable. So I definitely have some Native American in there.
Yeah.
Somewhere.
Yeah, boy. Acid Bass from Homa, too.
And, yeah. And Cody's a fucking Jew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. His last name's Israel, by the way. Way to dox him, Rick.
Yeah.
Hello.
Hello.
Wow.
You would wave like that, wouldn't you? Oh, Jesus killer.
We watch. I like the relevancy.
I like the segue.
Circle back.
That was the plan.
Real quick, but I did want to point out we watched, me and Ashley watched Uncut Gems last night.
Oh, yeah, you did. That was a good movie. Yeah, you did. Adam Sandler, great actor.
Dude. Yeah. I mean, I don't, yeah.
I always knew it, but yeah. Some other people had to be convinced.
Well, yeah, since Punch Drunk Love and Rain Over Me, and even Big Daddy and like 51st Dates, it's clear that the guy's got chops, I'd say.
Yeah.
Spanglish, another great Spanglish.
Yeah. Oh, shit. I forgot about Spanglish. Yeah.
But yeah, like Uncut Gems is a next level type of performance. And
yes.
In the movie, it's him and these black guys, and they're constantly like giving each other shit about being Jewish or being black and stuff. And I'm just like, I love that they can make a movie like this that is not this PC bullshit movie. It's just like raw, and the shit they're doing in this movie is raw because it's like criminal activity, gambling addiction, fucked up craziness. Like that movie is insane, insane.
I was so sad at the end. So sad.
I know. Me too. Me too. Even though he, you know, he's not the best person. He's not a horrible person, but he's not the best person.
I could feel like I could relate. It's like been trying to get your break your whole life and you finally get a fucking break. And then
I like that scene too, where he's amping up Kevin Garnett and he's like, this is how I win. This is how I do it. And he's like, that whole speech he gives him before he decides to like that switch flips and he decides to bet all that money. I'm just like, oh my God, bro, this is 10 out of 10, Adam Sandler. This is Oscar worthy as fuck, but yeah.
Wait, what are we talking about? I'm in Discord. Being high. I don't know.
We're talking about Incestry.com.
Oh, nice.
Did you say confused. Incestry?
Right. Yeah. I was going to say, not to be confused with Incestry.com. That's one you don't want to stumble on.
No.
Okay. Cheers.
Oh, shit. Yeah, cheers.
Hell yeah, cheers. Nice. Scores time, cheers. Ball.
Oh, yeah. I like that. I like that blue color.
Yeah, ball.
What is that?
Oh, shit. So it's like blueberry.
Yep. That's why I said I got a girly drink.
Hey, man, Natterdays is my favorite beer in the world forever, undisputed. So,
yep.
I don't care. Just give me that strawberry lemonade beer. It's delicious.
I like Jell-O syringes. So,
you know. Yeah, those are fun.
When we went to New Orleans, we like drank that, the bar out of Jell-O syringes. I like
that hard iced tea stuff.
Oh, yeah? The Mike's Hard?
Yeah.
Or what's it called?
The
yellow can stuff. What's it?
I don't know. Yeah, those iced tea.
It's not Twisted Tea. What is it? Yeah, Twisted Teas. There we go.
Yeah.
Tees, yeah. I had a Mike's while we were watching this movie, actually.
Oh.
It's not my normal go-to, but it's what the gas station had, so.
word.
Damn, it's starting to lightning out here.
I got my wrap special. Snacks. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's blur them. We're not endorsed.
Oh, I'm trying so hard. Blur. Endorse us, Boosie.
The fuck?
It's Boosie's Louisiana Heat Cheesy Poofs. And it's got his dumb face on it. Yeah.
There you go.
Boosie badass.
I don't even know who that is.
Sponsor us, Boosie. What? And then Fleshlight, y'all go ahead and sponsor us too.
Dude, you can find me on the Interstate I-10, acting bad, hoes hollering there. Where he go?
Brought to you by the Dune 2 popcorn bucket.
Boosie bad.
Yeah. And look, all I'm saying is if you watch that movie, you're gonna want to use that bucket.
Oh no.
It makes the experience better.
Every nerd's wife in America just got cucked when that movie came out and that book got sold.
Yeah.
so everything was going well, so you decided you needed to do a story about the Christ.
Yeah.
Because now, was that a calling, would you say, or was that another challenge?
It was
or?
Just something that got into my head about that. I just kept having visions about it, you know, and about, you know, what was that like 12 hours like? And what was that really like? I mean, what does it mean to get scourged and crucified and the significance of what one single event and what one God-man has done historically and changed civilization. I mean, this is like an amazing thing. I mean, and of course, you know, you step into that arena, whew, you know, it's going to create some fireworks.
Did you think about that before you did it?
Well, I thought, you know, a lot of other people did it. You know, George Stevens did it, and who's the other guy? The Cecil B. DeMille, right. And, you know, all these other people, and Franco Zeffirelli did it, and man, they didn't get too much, so I thought, oh, I'll just try this. And but man, it just was like, well, it was like lighting the world on fire. And it just turned into like such a shit fight.
Well, you brought the pain to it, which I don't know nobody else had really ever done.
No, they, you know, usually seen, it was usually like bad wigs and people speaking in bad Shakespearean dialogue with, you know, with a little trickle of blood and stuff. And I sort of, you know, got gritty with it.
Did you ever think it was too much?
Of course it was too much. Yes, that was the whole point of it. It was the mystery of suffering, which is the sacrificial lamb, you know. I mean, if it was easy, it isn't worth much.
Bienvenue à la Boîte de Nuit. Praise the Lord and welcome to the nightclub where we are the saints of sinning and winning. Huge. I'm
Travis.
I am Travis Maximus Christos. Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. And tonight I'm joined by this merry band of apostles.
I'm Pontius Putin, also known as Stephen Kingpin, known as Jump Scare Jesus, These are my rap names for the night.
Yep.
And also known as 3-6 Rickles, the boy Kaboy, in the house.
Speaking of rappers.
What's up, Candy? It's Cody Co. And I got nothing great or clever to say, so.
Normally you do. What the hell happened tonight?
Hey, dude, it was a nice rhyme, though.
I think it's time for you to spark up, bro. Yeah, there we go.
That's the problem, I think.
Oh shit! You call him fucking Sparky over there, bro.
He's too high. And speaking of too high, we got that tall boy.
Yeah, they call me NGC Trev, also known as Deadpool, because I'd be breaking the fourth wall, cuz.
Oh, I love right. it. I love
so
that.
So what you're gonna want to do is you're gonna want to.
Hold up.
No, Trevor.
Hold up. I had a joke to say about you, too. Because he's so high above me.
I'm so lovely.
And he's so lovely.
Manisha.
Trevor, I want to snort the cheese from beneath your foreskin.
Oh, God. Okay. Damn.
I love you, bro.
And Bailey just left.
I got it for you, guys.
She did turn her nose up at that one.
Yeah. Sorry, Bailey.
I'm sorry. Now I feel bad.
We're not going to be good, though.
She's laughing just now. She's
And tonight, we do have some special guests, friends of the show. You can find our first guest on the Nightclub Discord, repping his own channel over there. We have with us Tim from the Average Podcast, along with Bailey. Bailey is also there too. Thank you, Tim and Bailey, for being here.
Yes. Happy to be here.
Yeah.
And that's not all. Direct from Canada, being the goddamn rock star that he is, that sexy beast of a man, we have with us tonight the skin of my dad himself, Ross motherfucking Paul.
Ross!
AKA Ross is lost, AKA bigdick.com.
Ross is here.
I'm going there right now.
Bigdick.ca.
Yeah.
Fucking A. This is the last supper. No. We have a table full and we breaking bread. I love it. Thank y'all all so much for being here, and we're gonna do the goddamn thing tonight, y'all, because this episode is fucking like four and a half to five years in the making.
Yeah.
We were supposed to cover this movie year one of the nightclub for our Easter's special. Mm-hmm. And this year we finally gonna do it, man. We finally gonna fucking do it tonight. We're talking about.
Did it start off as a joke?
No.
Was it like? Oh, Easter's coming up. We should do that. I don't remember how did it start.
I don't remember the origin, but I'm not. I know it's not a joke.
We were just talking about it, and somehow it came up, and we were like, yeah, we should do that.
We should.
I texted Ricky last night when I was watching it. I was like, man, you got balls to cover this.
Because when we came up with this idea, we were like, man, this would literally piss off everyone.
Yeah.
Also,
if we cover this movie on the Nightclub Horror Podcast.
We are pretentious cinephiles. So you know, and we're really good at watching movies and being arrogant, but not being racist, but being called racist.
I was going to say, we're also racist, apparently. According to some reviewer out there, Yucky Mutts or whatever your name was.
Oh, Yucky Butt.
Yucky bud, you fucker.
Yucky bud.
But I'm a little offended by Tim's comment because I only have a ball.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, everyone. Travis has a single.
You know what, Tim? You know what, Tim? Tell him. Tell him. I don't give a fuck. Tell him. I don't give a fuck. It doesn't even matter. Tell him. Tell him.
Trevor's yelling at him in the nightclub.
I'm not trying to offend anybody.
It's cosmic, cuh. Tell him.
It don't matter.
I've got the ball to cover this movie, all right?
That's correct.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah. No, you still need to get that Wi-Fi.
Dude, did it get like really big? Like after you lost up? No. That would be awesome, dude. Like if you had just one big testicle.
Like comparing it to losing one of your senses when you go blind, your hearing gets better. When you lose one ball, the other one gets better.
What happened was I lost the one ball, my dick got bigger. It was amazing.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
It's crazy. Sense. Yeah. No, the movie
does
we're
that
talking
work after does that work after you're 30 years old?
You'll
be appearing on Ross's website soon.
Yeah, he's my competitor now on bigdick.com.
Yeah.
Damn.
A new challenger has appeared.
Our nemesis.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to know what happened when it says finish him.
We know one thing, the fruit machine ain't involved.
The fruit machine wasn't brought there, hopefully.
Excuse me, guys. I got some work to do.
What are you
doing? I'm getting rid of the extra ball, man. I don't need it. I don't need it.
Well, Trevor then broke out a fucking dagger.
Everybody wants that bigger dick, bro. If you have a 12-inch penis, you want a 14-inch penis. It doesn't matter how big your dick is right now. You would want it to be better.
Trevor's
and bigger.
He's speaking the male insecurity true.
It's true.
We all have it.
Travis has a Hogzilla, and he wants it to be a giant Hogzilla.
Yeah.
Sure.
Well, speaking of a Hogzilla, tonight's movie is a Hogzilla indeed. We're going to be talking about Mel Gibson's The Passion of the Christ from 2005. That's going to be what we're covering. So you motherfuckers out there didn't even know. Well, maybe you did. You probably did.
You might have known. You might have known.
But yeah.
I don't know.
If you didn't know, now you know.
Yeah.
Oh, shit, know. Man. I watched the wrong movie. I watched The Passion for Christy. It's a bang bus film.
Hey, I want to.
There was an extra on that
movie.
He's on point tonight, bro.
Damn. I just want to point out how fast it came up with that.
I'm Christy.
because he,
damn it,
he watched it. That's why.
Hey, did Probably. You guys know? Did you guys know that the second Ginger Dead Man movie, its title is Passion of the Crust? Why did they do that? And the cover has a white cross.
Is that the first one without Gary Busey?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Oh, shit. It's
Gary Busey.
It upset me, though. I was like, what are y'all doing? Full moon. What are you going to do?
I want to ask everyone, before we get into tonight's movie, before we do the goddamn midnight ritual, and this is going to tie into the fourth wall content for a second here, because we just did conspiracy theories on our fourth wall. There's a conspiracy theory out there called the Christ myth, and that is the doubting of Jesus as a historical figure. They're saying that he is an amalgamation of different mythologies, that if he did even exist as a real person, he had little to nothing to do with the invention of Christianity as a religion. I want to ask everyone out there, I want to all come off the fence. Everybody, was Jesus real?
Yes.
I think at the very least he was a real person. I don't, you know, I'm not a believer, but I think the guy existed and changed the world as we know it for sure at some point.
What? What's that, Ross Paul?
He was a carpenter, wasn't he? Had his own carpentry business.
Yeah.
Well, look him up on Indeed.
Yeah. Give him a good review.
Yeah.
On Angie's list, he can do some homework.
Are you saying he was like a massive carpenter mogul back then? And like outside of his business, instead of having like wacky waving inflatable tube men, he had wacky waving inflatable slave men?
Wait, what?
According to this movie, he built like the first dining room table. So
Trevor is killing it, bro. What are you doing
tonight?
This is Trevor. This is Trevor's thing. Oh. This is his mode. He's in it now.
Yeah,
he was quiet when we did Rosemary's Baby, but
when it's on its own, man.
Tim, Jesus, he was real.
Yes.
Cody,
there's enough historical records that are not associated with religious records that also verify he existed.
Cody, was Jesus a real thing? No. No evidence for that? Just no?
I think maybe he was a god, but he wasn't the...
He's not the apotheosis that everyone's making him out to be.
He was just a god.
The man turned to God.
Yeah, with the board. I think he was just a guy, and he was given that familiar story, because that's an old story. It's a story that's happened many times.
It is a story that was told throughout time. I mean, you know, in my opinion, also, I think, but I do think that the guy existed and, you know, probably changed the world. I'm just saying.
But like miracles, son of God, all.
Oh. Right. That's where I'm like, I don't know.
I'm going to lean towards Ricky. I'm going to lean towards everyone. Everyone said yes. I think he was a real person. Because of what Tim said, the historical records, there was a person who lived in the first century Roman Judea era who had a baptism and was crucified. We know that. And his name was Jesus, and he was from Nazareth. Do I know that he performed all of these fantastical things? Yeah. No, because I wasn't there. But, hey, man, sometimes I want to believe in the wild and the wicked. I'm not saying Jesus was wicked, but...
That's what I'm saying, all those things. Right. But was he actually a real guy that got crucified? Yeah.
Even if you take away the divinity aspect of it, and he was just a guy who believed strongly enough in something to be allowed himself to be crucified, and then changed the world forever after that, mm-hmm. I think he's a badass. He doesn't have to be a divine being. You could just respect the fact that he's one of the few people on this earth that actually changed the course of history till present day.
Yeah.
Still doing it, right? Tonight, I mean, look, tonight,
the nightclub is going to put some respect on Jesus' name. That's what we got to do.
You go.
Right here, real quick.
I guess I'm saying the stuff, like, and I agree, it's like the stuff that he did change the world with, not necessarily, I believe, actually existed, but it was more manipulated, I guess.
One of my favorite stories about
any sense.
It could have been, but one of my favorite stories about Jesus was, I have two favorite stories. One is that he put a demon into a herd of pigs and made him run off a cliff. That's dope. Mm-hmm.
Legion. Yeah.
I never heard that one.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. And my other favorite story is that Jesus hates taxes.
Right. Yeah. Well, I love that part.
Story, man, love him for that.
That first story sounds like how bacon came about.
Right. He did that in Canada, and that's why they invented
He did that in Canada.
I go ahead and agree that eating bacon is like right up there with spirituality awakening. So
yeah,
I mean, as close to God as you're gonna get on earth. If I can like have faith in God through eating bacon, I'm all about that.
Hell yeah!
Right, right.
And I want to say
praise bacon Jesus.
Praise bacon Jesus. And when Christ walked into that fucking whatever that fucking tax the IRS. And he saw them counting all that gold and weighing the scales.
He flipped the fucking table, bro.
He said, "Curse you, den of vipers!" And flip that goddamn table. And
yeah, because it's a high tide in the snake's nest, motherfucker.
Shit.
Yeah.
All that being said, tonight we're gonna dive into this fucking biblical, goddamn, sorrowful drama. And what you're gonna want to do if you have not seen Melly Gibbs' Passion of the Christ is you're going to want to chug a gallon of that holy water that Mary used to clean Jesus's fucking feet. And then you're going to want to say 5,000 Hail Marys just for listening to this episode. Cause your soul has unlocked eternal damnation.
Oh damn.
It's happened.
You shouldn't have joined the fourth wall. That's what you're going to want to do.
I'm the only one listening to this and a part of this. They got a hall pass.
You get the hall pass.
Pass. I'm going to heaven with Jesus. I got the hall pass. I'm gonna fuck Jesus, but I mean, that's part of the hall pass.
What? He had to save himself, but he was saving himself, man.
What the fuck did you just say, Trevor?
It's a hall pass.
He got stuck. He got stuck, and then he had to save himself.
What have I got to do with Jesus? And God's just sitting there in the corner cucking away, bro.
That's between you and your God, brother. That's between you and your God, all right?
Trevor just cucked God Almighty. No.
No, Trevor. You're not the one supposed to be doing that tonight, dude.
I can't believe Trevor,
you are indeed officially a 10 tonight.
Yes,
bro.
Thank you. Right after you said that, Trevor, like it started like thundering so loud outside of my house, dude. I'm just saying.
Hold on. I got to ask everybody here, and this is, I mean, you don't have to, but I just want to ask, who here is a Christian? Trevor is, but who else is a Christian? Tim?
My boy, Tim.
I used to be. Because I used to go to church when I was younger. I went to a couple different churches back home on the East Coast. I did the whole Pentecostal thing. I did the United Baptist thing and can't remember what else. And then once one church got mad at me for going to another church, that's when I was like, okay, this is bullshit. Like, they're full of crap.
Yeah.
That is why I'm here.
I'm slowly figuring out that there are more hypocrites in church than outside of church.
That's why definitely.
So I left with my belief in God, like I believe in God or a higher power, and I pray. But as far as the Bible, like the Christian, all that other stuff, that's separate. I'm on the fence with so much stuff. Like I'm like I have no idea.
Hey, there's nothing wrong with being a Humpty Dumpty, bro.
No. Ricky and I had some conversations a while ago, just about. I think that's why he asked me to be here.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah. I grew up, my father was actually a youth pastor for the majority of my life. And so I grew up in a very conservative, sheltered kind of setting and branched away from that. Went through a period where I was like, I want nothing to do with these people. I want nothing to do with this. And then I found my way back, but it's not what I grew up with. It is kind of what I want to talk about with this movie as we get into it. This movie tells the story of exactly what I experienced myself. So I get that, like, churches are messed up. They're full of messed up people. But I have found that the church is not Jesus.
Oh, absolutely.
So yeah, that is where I'm at. I totally get the, like, I don't want all that hypocrisy of the church, but I'm here for Jesus. So that is, I think that's why Ricky asked me to be here.
It is because, you know, we had interesting conversations and we talk about podcasting a lot and just everything in general, 40K. And I was like, you know what, man, we're covering Passion of the Christ. If you'd like to come,
I brought recommendations on things that, like, if you're curious, because I know I'm not normal. I'm not who you're, like, I don't fit in at my church, but I go, you know? So, yeah. So I'm kind of excited to talk to you guys and just go through this.
Well, my main reason for asking is because I didn't want to, like, Trev is also, he said, Christian. He believes in Jesus and he just made
I don't mess with Ouija boards, like,
but yeah, you just made the most sacrilegious jokes that any of us could have made.
Yeah,
you cucked God. Right. All
right. That's why I was God, like,
God,
dude,
God understands. He's got a sense of humor.
God's right. Got your
I think he does have a sense of humor. Dude,
if anything, it was a sign of worship. Okay.
Dude,
okay. I was worshiping God.
Dude,
okay.
We got tornado weather outside by my house, and he's gonna be like, "Well, I'm mad at Trevor, but I'm not gonna get him. I'm gonna get the little son of a bitch over there."
That's right.
He's
gonna destroy your temple in 3 days, bro.
Oh, I'm
watching
shit,
the lightning behind Travis.
See my
it's cool
sky right now.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Yeah. So
I'm
tonight.
I'm waiting to see the possum. He's gonna show up tonight.
Well,
feeling.
let's just rattle it off because I know me, Travis, and Cody are not believers.
Yeah.
And we already kind of talked about it, so you know we got into it.
Oh, that's a great picture, Ross.
I like it.
Yeah. I'm definitely a believer. I don't really like the church. I go to church because I do think structure and teaching your kids the basics is important. But then letting them make their own decisions once they're old enough to do their thing, right?
Sure.
So I don't really like the Catholic Church, but my wife does, and I love my wife and I love my kids, so I support them in that aspect. So I go, even if I don't always like it. Now we'll give my priest some props. Motherfucker brought out a guitar and played, and this is a Catholic church.
Hell yeah!
So this is a Catholic priest. All right. But he pulled out a guitar and played, and then he did a sermon on Joan of Arc. And brought out a sword.
That's like pretty dope. He sounds like a cool priest.
So he's a pretty cool guy.
He plays guitar and swings swords.
He's very strict on some of the things he believes, but at least it's entertaining sometimes, you know?
I was just mesmerized by Travis's hair blowing in the wind.
Thank you. I'm Nicholas Cage.
little mini Jesus here.
Well, I was baby Jesus at one point in time, and I guess I've returned to that form.
We've been carrying this cross. I
see some similarities there, bud.
I'm
waiting for the lightning to strike you twice, and then I'm gonna go over there and perform open heart surgery on you with my cross.
I am a non-believer as far as it goes, like with like how Cody and that were saying like earlier with the miracles. The older I get, I'm not an atheist anymore. I'm more of a agnostic, kind of like I don't know. But like when I look around enough and do some reading and whatever, I'm just kind of like, I guess maybe there's a higher power, something that made all of this to be something. Like I in my brain, my stupid monkey brain can't fathom reality coming out of nothing. So so just because I can't grasp that concept doesn't mean it's not true, but I don't agree with it anymore. And I don't agree with being an atheist anymore, and I haven't for some time, but I'm not a believer, but I like the message, that the overall message, the good message that someone like Jesus was trying to get across, and that's basically love thy neighbor and turn the other cheek. Do we always do that? We don't always do that, but to strive to be that way, if everyone tried to be that way, the world would be a better place.
I don't think many people would argue they have a problem with what Jesus taught. It tends to be the people who claim to follow Jesus that they have problems with.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it gets political, and that's when it really dives into the shit show.
It does.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
gets political in this movie too. But just to put mine out there, I was raised in a religious household. but my parents' parents weren't like religious. My parents became religious once they got older. So they were pretty worldly. Like, I grew up watching my parents play Dungeons and Dragons with their friends, which is not the typical Christian household thing, you know.
I was banned in my home.
And a lot of stuff was in mine too, but other things weren't. And it was, I mean, it was just what mom and dad were cool with, you know, what they mm-hmm. decided, I guess, in their hearts and their minds. Yeah. Anyway, that lasted till like after high school. And I don't know. Stuff changed. And now I'm kind of like on the fence. I don't know. I'm not a true atheist because I don't think that there's no fucking way something
exists. It's all an accident. Exists,
right.
It's all an accident.
I mean, it would be cosmic as fuck if it was that, but, you know, I don't know if it's
It's also cosmic as fuck if there is
something that made us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know,
it's both.
Especially if it's Cthulhu.
No matter what, no matter what, we can have our cosmic cake and eat it too, no matter which way we go.
I was raised in a Catholic household. Like, I was sent to catechism.
Oh, yeah.
And used to go to church. I was there. Yeah. And I used to go to church with my mom. Oh, yeah. Yes, Trevor. Yes, Trevor. You were there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Travis was sniffing glue.
Yeah, I was.
about around 15, I dropped out of catechism. Like, I didn't want to go anymore. And as far as, like what I am and whatever, I'm pretty much the same, like what you described, Travis.
Agnostic.
Like that. Right. Yeah. Like that. Yeah. Yeah. But I used to call myself an atheist, though. But I used to also. Yeah.
We're going to go and we're going to, like, picket protest like a church of atheism, like on Metalocalypse. Yeah. You remember that?
Yeah. You're going to whisper like, Baptist, the atheist church?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. On Metalocalypse, there was an episode where Murderface decided to try all the religions and he went to a church of atheism, and then it got attacked by angry agnostics who were like picketing and starting fires and shit.
They did this shit on South Park too, where they had different atheist groups fighting with each other and shit.
And they had a sign that said "Save
over
maybe
the God. Name." Over the name.
I lost my religion when my uncle came visit one time. He talked about dying on the operating table, and the story you always hear about dying is that you see the light, or, you know, your life flashes before your eyes, that generic thing. He said, I saw nothing. There was nothing. And I was 12 or 13 when I heard him say that. And that thought stuck in my head, and I would go to bed at night, and I couldn't go to bed at night. I would just sit there and think about that. Like, well, because I was brought up Christian. I'm like, what if I die and there's just nothing? I stop existing. Nothing matters.
It's hard to fathom, so it's scary.
It was fucked up, man. It was fucked up, definitely. But Modest Mouse brought me back, baby. Modest Mouse is the thing that brought me back. Yeah. We didn't do it. What you want to do?
What you want to do?
Oh, what you want to do? I did mine.
Can I do it now? Can I do it now?
What you want to do is...
Cut God?
Is tell... No.
That wasn't my what to do.
No. What you want to do is... give your whole religious life story before we do the episode, and then watch The Passion of the Christ, and then
become a Christian.
The cliff notes. And then,
I like it. So what you're going to want to do is visit your local market, and then you want to go to the House of Not Being a Caveman University, and you're going to learn about economics, and then you're going to want to pump those numbers up. 30 fucking silver, Judas? Come on, Judas. You sold Ezekiel yesterday for 25 silver. We got the fucking Messiah here, bro.
My dude. My dude.
32 silver. 32 silver. Come on, man. I got kids to feed.
Those are rookie numbers, Judas.
Bro.
What the fuck?
My dude could have went ripped the copper out of someone's AC and got more than that, dude. Like, I don't know what to tell you.
Trevor,
I wonder what the inflation rate on 30 pieces of silver is in today's money.
I gotta back up Cody here tonight. Is that Trevor is going harder than I ever could have imagined.
He's a 10 tonight, bro.
God damn, dude.
Absolutely.
What you're gonna want to do is train yourself to be a masochist, because you're about to have the greatest sexual experience of your life.
What the fuck?
If you're a masochist, you're goddamn right.
Jeez.
All right. If you have not seen tonight's film, Passion of the Christ, cry off now and let the ritual.
Jerk off.
Sorry. No, jerk off now
and let the ritual begin.
The Passion of the Christ is a 2004 epic American biblical drama film produced, directed, and co-written by Mel Gibson. It stars Jim Caviezel as Jesus of Nazareth, Maya Morgenstern as Mary, the mother of Jesus, and Monica Bellucci as Mary Magdalene.
Meow.
Wow.
Yeah.
It depicts the Passion of Jesus largely throughout the film, according to the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And it also draws on pious accounts such as the Friday of Sorrows, along with other devotional writings such as the reputed visions attributed to Anne Catherine Emmerich. Don't know who she is, but I guess she had some visions. Visions by Anne.
sounds like a radio show for some reason.
Delilah.
Right.
Oh, shit.
The film covers the final 12 hours before Jesus was crucified. And his death itself, known as the Passion. It begins with the agony in the Garden of Olives, or the Garden of Gethsemane. It continues with the betrayal of Judas Iscariot, the brutal scourging at the pillar, the suffering of Mary as prophesied by Simon, the crucifixion and death of Jesus, and ends with a brief depiction of the resurrection. The narrative is also interspersed with moments of Jesus' life, such as the Last Supper, the Sermon at the Mount, and moments from when Jesus was a child. Those hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
Much of this movie was shot in Italy, so they kind of went, I guess, as best on location as they could. And the dialogue for the movie was entirely reconstructed Aramaic, Hebrew, and Latin. Because Mel Gibson was like, we're not going to do this thing in modern vernacular. Like, we're going to go back to the old school, the actual fucking like languages. And he said this about his choice to do this. When given the choice between doing a modern language or old languages, Mel Gibson said he wanted to do filmic storytelling. He felt like the story of the Passion was so well known that he wanted to avoid using modern languages because the audience, he said, and I quote, "I think it's almost counterproductive to say some of these things in modern language. If it makes you want to stand up and shout the next line, like when you hear to be or not to be, you instinctively say to yourself, that is the question." So he consulted experts on how to remake these languages, and they fucking did. They did the goddamn thing.
Hell yeah.
During production on this movie, the actor who played Jesus, Jim Caviezel, got struck by lightning twice. Twice.
What? Me too. I got struck by lightning twice at work today.
and no one's there to refute it, but my God, there was plenty of people around to see Jim Caviezel getting struck by lightning. And my boy, how, like, if you're making a movie like this and you get struck by lightning twice in the same place, what, I mean, does that kind of tell you something?
I mean, it seems pretty weird.
I didn't know about that. That's fucked up. Was that happen on set?
Yeah.
During
he had open heart surgery eventually.
I need to read up on that.
Holy shit.
Because of the lightning strikes. So
did he really?
Yeah.
Wasn't it during the crucifixion scene while they were filming?
I don't know what scene it was during.
I don't have that either.
I mean, that is when he was hoisted up on a large wooden pole. It would make sense.
It would make the most sense, yeah.
How would he dare to finish the movie after that? That's my question. Like, how would you know?
I think just from his performance alone, like, he's a devout Catholic, personally. So I think he saw this as, like, a calling, and he was going to see it through.
That's wild. That's
You get struck by lightning though and almost die. Like, I don't know how you could spin that. You could spin that a bunch of different ways.
Caviezel definitely had hypothermia, pneumonia, lung infection due to intense physical demands of the film, and had to have open heart surgery right after the movie wrapped. So he definitely had open heart surgery because of this movie. Just saying.
And that's wild, man.
This movie was also independently funded by Mel Gibson.
It was it was 30 million, huh?
30 million plus 15 million in marketing costs. So $45 million of Mel Gibson's own money went into this movie through his production company, Icon Productions. Oh, cha-ching. Yeah. Since it was independent, he definitely cha-chinged. The movie worldwide made $612 million in 2004.
Oh, dang, holy, that's an investment cut.
Moses on fire.
Holy.
So you pay 45.
That's fucking impressive.
Yeah.
It's fucking impressive is what that is.
And in 2004 money, dude.
Like, yeah.
That's dope.
We're not talking Marvel. Like today, I know today, like if Marvel or Disney made that back or whatever, they'd be like, oh, well, that we lost our investment.
That's their budget for some movies. Yeah.
Right.
Like, shit.
But back then, nah, man, they fucking made good. That was 30 pieces of silver to their Judas. Like they were happy about that shit. They didn't even fuck.
Deadpool 2 makes a joke about that. They were like, Deadpool 1 was the second highest grossing R-rated film behind Jesus.
Nice. I didn't catch that.
This movie was very divisive, even for me. I went and saw this in theaters when it came out in Eunice, Louisiana, the town right over from Mamou. And there were
Queen's enema.
The Queen's enema. And there were some people outside protesting it who were Christians, according to them. They were Christian and they were protesting the movie, calling it blasphemy and everything else. And I'm just like, well,
why?
I guess because it's depicting Jesus on film.
Because they're crazy people.
They got nothing better to do.
Right.
Because people love to be mad.
Because everyone has their own version of it, and it wasn't their version. So, right? Maybe? I don't know.
But I bet they didn't even go watch the movie, though.
No,
that's very true.
I don't think they even went watch the movie. I think they just
looking for shit to be mad about.
Yeah.
That's how it goes.
They read something on MySpace and just got pissed off about it.
Is that even still around anymore?
No.
Well, unfortunately.
It is, but it's not the way it was. But it does exist. You can go to MySpace.com. It does exist, but it's just not.
2004, so it might have been Zanga even.
I met so many hot women on MySpace. Anyways,
it was on an Angel Fire website.
this movie was challenged even by its own support. People that you would assume would be supporters, but there were plenty of people that did support it in and out of the Christian church. And it was a worldwide success to the point where this many years later, y'all, we're talking 20 years later, there's going to be a sequel because Mel Gibson and Jim Caviezel have teamed back up. His open heart surgery is done with finally. And he's like, I'm ready to be Jesus again and get struck by more lightning. And the sequel to Passion of the Christ, according to Mel Gibson, is a hellacious acid trip.
Is this real?
Yes.
Yeah. What could this be? Family Guy made a joke about this.
Right.
Wow.
It won't be
crucified. This.
It won't be co-starring Chris Tucker. It's going to be about the 3 days that Jesus was dead and what he was doing during that time. It's going to be about Jesus going to hell and fighting Satan.
Okay,
I'm so down. Especially when you put the acid trip spin on it, I'm just down.
Amazing.
So this
that
is
amazing.
The Passion of the Christ 2, Dante's Inferno.
Yes.
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 I'm so down.
And Jesus weaponizes rainbows.
No.
Jesus versus Freddy versus Jason. That was a good one.
First level of hell right there.
God damn. Well, let's go ahead and dive into it. Let's do our scene-by-scene breakdown of the Passion of the Christ. film opens with a suffering servant.
Yeah, he's suffering all right. He is.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
It opens in the garden, right? It opens in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Yeah.
I'd like to ponder that moment.
The Garden of Gethsemane looked a lot like the woods from Twilight, and that's all I could think of.
I was waiting for Edward.
Well, you do get a werewolf.
I thought that little werewolf thing was definitely the Twilight connection.
That was Jacob.
There he is.
Well, my brethren here are jumping so far ahead. I'm like, whoa. No, well, I had the quote. Now I can't find the quote. But yeah, there is a quote to start the movie. But there is this a suffering servant, and that's Jesus, and my boy is there. It's the full moon before Passover. Mm. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's praying with his passed out Pleiad disciples. Peter is there, James and John. They're all drunk, and they're hanging out up against a tree, and they're like, Lord, we so Pleiad, goddamn.
Yeah, that's some good possum you got there, cuh.
Awesome.
Jesus is there having some actual contemplation, and it's not before long that the devil shows up and tries to tempt Jesus as he's just like dealing with the fact of what's about to happen, because he knows what's about to happen to him. He's done foreseen it. He's predicted it. He's going to get sold out by Judah. That they call Judas Judah in the film. And Judah's going to do that boy in. And Satan shows up just being creepy as fuck and whispering to Jesus. And we had a watch along in the Swamp Donkey on the Discord. And people were like, you know, they were asking, you think Jesus knew? And I'm like, yeah, he knew. You think Satan knew? And I was like, yes, Satan definitely knew.
Definitely knew, yeah.
Because
did not want that to happen.
Not at all. Not at all. He was definitely trying. But he knew, even though he was going to try, he knew it was not going to change anything. Jesus was about to get captured. Jesus was about to go through the passion. We'll call it for now.
You want to hear my notes? I got notes.
Satan looked like a Harkonnen.
My very first note was, Judas is a bitch.
Yeah.
My second note was, Jesus is obviously shook and panicking and sweating blood. My man is having such a panic attack that he is sweating blood. That's just crazy. And then I was like, Satan lady looks wild. Haha, little boa snake, though. Because that snake wasn't really poisonous. It was a constrictor.
Right, it was.
That snake was not poisonous at all.
That was
it's a snake.
That was actually Satan's cock.
It was a boa.
It crawled right out. Nice.
Yeah, it gives you the creepy feelings, but it's really just harmless.
There's a shot right here in this scene that I love where Jesus
I'm
is...
sorry. I'm laughing at Trevor.
No, that's fine. Laugh away, baby. Jesus
No,
was...
but I don't want to be louder than you. That's why I'm trying to keep it down.
Jesus was praying to God and basically like, Father, can you pass this on to someone else other than me? He was scared. He was legit scared. And...
I don't want this cup.
Right.
This cup sucks.
Pass it on to someone else.
I don't know why I said it like that guy. Like
how deep is that hole?
How deep is this cup, Cook? And he's asking God to like pass it on to someone else. And there's a shot where Jesus looks up at the moon and the clouds pass over the moon and darken it. And the camera immediately shows Jesus looking down, and a single tear is seen streaming from his eye. That
like the Converge song.
Fuck yeah! I suppose
a single tear. Yeah.
That shot alone is just masterfully done, and there's so much of that in this movie where the way that it's paced and the way that one scene leads or one shot even leads into another. Is just so, you could tell, meticulously well thought out, but not only that, meticulously filmed and produced.
And you need that back and forth.
Because you could tell this story verbatim from the Bible without the way that, like Mel Gibson said, he wanted to shoot it to where it was filmic. It was like you're looking at things happening, not just hearing things happening. And there's plenty of scenes with dialogue that's very effective, but there are so many scenes in this movie where it's just what you're seeing on screen that is getting the message across. And this is one of my favorite shots of the movie is the moon and the tear hats off to Mel Gibson for and his cinema. The definition of cosmic, doing that shit. Judas, he fucking sold Jesus out, and he was bribed by the Pharisees for Caiaphas for 30 pieces of fucking silver. This is another scene again where it's just
tossing it to him. Yeah,
yeah, and he fucking bends at the waist to cuck while he picks up these.
Oh, he looks like a scared dog that's looking up at them. Like, can I grab this silver? Is it okay if I grab this silver?
Yeah,
they threw that bag of silver at him, knowing that it was gonna spill everywhere. Like, goddamn.
Oh man. Yeah.
You're gonna indignify us? Is that a word? Indignify?
Yeah, they some bitches.
I'm taking his dignity away. That's what I mean to say.
There you go.
When Jesus is in the garden, all these guards show up and they're quartering him. Peter wakes up and Peter immediately becomes a real
Peter's one. Ride or die real quick right now, huh?
Yeah.
Right now.
That's exactly that's right exactly. now he's ride or die.
That's exactly
for what now.
Right. My notes were like, Judas is still a bitch. There's a betrayal kiss. And then the other apostles are real ones. Because them motherfuckers be, I quote, I put apostles or Jesus smacking the fuck out the guards. So, like, if Jesus would smack somebody, the apostles are doing what he would do. Smack the fuck out of them.
Jesus has a posse that's ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. It's on site, cuh.
Peter pulls a dagger out and slashes the ear off Malchus, one of the commanders of the guards. And then in the next scene, throughout the chaos, the movie slows down yet again, giving you this like hummingbird wing flapping effect where you're just watching this one thing happen while everything else is ridiculous around it, where Jesus kneels down, puts his hand over Malchus's ear, moves his hand away, and Malchus has his ear back. And in that moment, Malchus became cosmic because his mind is erased. He doesn't know how to think anymore. He just experienced a cosmic event and cannot explain it.
Right. I kind of love that scene. Like, a guy who showed up to arrest Jesus is healed, and you see it on his face, that kind of second guessing, like, what just happened? What am I doing? He has the what the fuck face.
Oh, for sure.
In that moment. And I thought it was brilliant. I was like, this is so well done. For such a something seems so little,
it's a major scene played small because of what you're saying. It's doing something that's revealing to the audience and to his persecutors. No, this guy's for real. Like in this movie, suspend all your beliefs. In this movie, Jesus is the Son of God. We're gonna find out. We already know now. Like. He really is the guy. He is him. He's cooking with miracles. Miracle spice. Because he'd be re-healing ears and shit.
No Harkonnen blood.
Can you bring me my stuff?
No Harkonnen blood.
That's Satan.
Yeah.
that hairless being was definitely a Harkonnen.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Mary wakes up out of her sleep because she knows that something's not right. She even says, tonight is different. There's something not right about this night. And she's talking to Mary Magdalene. And suddenly John barges in and is like, they got him. They got Jesus. And they reunite with Peter, who'd followed Jesus and his captors. By the way, once these motherfuckers got hold of Jesus, they didn't wait until they got him to the city. They just started beating his ass with chains right away without forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And laughing along the way, laughing.
Oh yeah,
just fucking beating his ass. And this is where you get the brief werewolf scene because Jesus gets thrown over a bridge, and Judas is down there looking at Jesus like, "Oh shit!" A little
bridge troll. Yeah,
yep.
A little bridge cook.
He imprints on Jacob.
But hey, but Jesus ain't no. Jesus ain't no snitch, though, cuh.
No.
He a real one.
He didn't say shit about Judas.
He didn't say nothing about Judas, and he could have.
He gets pulled back up, and then Judas gets fucking jump scared by, not Jesus, a werewolf.
A werewolf, straight up.
Motherfuckers don't be knowing that there's a werewolf in this movie. It's a full moon in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Oh, hell yeah.
I could see how people would mistake it for like a demon, but this is confirmed by the filmmakers that this is in fact a werewolf. It's a werewolf. Yeah, what's his name, Rick? I can't say it. Sisyphus?
Caiaphas.
Caiaphas. Syphilis holds a trial during which false accusations and witnesses are brought against Jesus, and some priests who secretly support Jesus oppose the trial.
And syphilis cannot hide his heart on.
No.
At all.
This dude wants to fucking murder Jesus so bad. And I love in this scene, there are people that are like, this is crazy. Where's the other council members? Like, what's going on? And they get hissed and booed out of the place like it's a fucking rock concert and you made a fucking crazy remark during the back and forth between the singer and the audience. Like, they're getting rid of people. Like, just kick him out of here. Get rid of him.
He's getting canceled back there, bro.
Yeah, getting canceled. Right, tell me
when I can gush about this scene. This is probably my favorite scene in the film.
Go for
gush
it.
Gush all over the place.
Gush, dude.
Okay.
Blow your load.
This is where I'm going to get a little bit like, this is where I realized that the church I grew up with is not the church that Jesus taught. And that's depicted so well in this scene. Because the people who kidnapped him at this scene were the religious leaders of the time. Mm-hmm. So these are the leaders of the church in that time period. And if you watch this scene, all of these religious leaders are dressed to the nines in this opulent, ridiculous clothing.
And they got little, and they all have little staffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's they're all real fancy.
It's ridiculous. So they're all real fancy, and they kidnap this guy. Yeah. They kidnap this guy who's dressed in rags and has a humble following. And this whole time they're yelling at him, screaming at him. And I'm watching this going like, yes, these are the religious leaders, and they were the ones who kidnapped Jesus.
And their power was threatened.
Yeah. And I think that's still the way it is today. But I loved the way he depicted how humble Jesus was with all of these ridiculously over the top, pompous leaders. I thought he did so well with that.
Absolutely.
Well, they ask him, they eventually do ask him, like, so are you the son of God or whatever? And Jesus is like, I am. That's the quote. And everyone knows that quote from the Bible, I am. You don't need no more than that. And Caiaphas becomes a little limp, weak beta Hulk Hogan and tries to rip his shirt off, but he can't.
Yep.
He can't really do it. And he condemns.
Turns it into a V-neck.
Yeah, exactly. He condemns Jesus to death for blasphemy. And then they start beating Jesus' ass some more. And Peter is confronted by the mob and he denies Jesus. And this is when we get that flashback of Jesus being like, before the cock crows, he's like,
you will betray me three times.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. And Peter's like, never, I'll follow you to death. And it's like, well, there might be a reason why you need to deny me though, bro. Like, you got to go do stuff. There's stuff you got to
do. Also, I'm Jesus and I forgive you.
Mm-hmm. Forgiven automatic. Yeah, Unless you doing taxes.
There was an agenda.
Peter would rather cut someone's ear off than admit that he's friends with Jesus. That's just a weird bit of psychology in there.
Peter does remember that Jesus told him about this shit. He weeps and he fucking runs. He's like, fuck, oh no, I'm the guy, I'm him.
I'm a no.
Oh no. Meanwhile, Judas is being accosted by these little demon children.
Uh-huh. You know what's coming, Travis.
I know what's coming. But before we get to the belt, when these kids show up, they're being rude and ugly to Judas, and he's like, you know, pleading. But then as they're accosting him, their faces start to contort and turn and
look like little old people.
Yeah. After the werewolf in the garden and during this scene, I'm like, if this isn't more horror adjacent before the brutality, what else do you want? Like, why else would we cover this on the fucking nightclub unless it was goddamn... There's some horror shit.
Oh, yeah.
There is.
Yep. Big time.
But yeah, Rick, these little kids are being little bitches about it. So
they chased that boy all the way out of town. Wouldn't catch me. Wouldn't be me, Father. Wouldn't be me. You know what I would do?
I mean, they were breathing hard.
I'd put that belt.
Yeah, boy.
I'd bust out that belt.
Break out the belt on them little demon kids.
Yeah, bud.
I like when Judas goes here and he finds a fucking rotting donkey, and I'm like, nightclub.
Yep.
Donkey, maggots. This shit is fucked up. And then my boy
donkey
decides,
maggot auto erotic asphyxiation.
He decides to David Carradine Robin Williams himself.
Yeah.
Okay, that shot though of his feet and the donkey smiling.
Yeah.
Is so good.
Again, the cinematography in this movie is just incredible.
Also a pretty good branch off of vampire mythos involves Judas as hanging himself and then coming back later as a Dracula in some films. Just saying.
No
shit. Horror films. Yes.
Interesting.
So Judas tries to hang himself and then finds out that God curses him with vampirism for his betrayal of Jesus. So you get a horror movie where Judas / Dracula is hunting people and they're, oh, we could stake him in the heart. And then they stake him in the heart. And you know what happens? Fucking nothing. Because God won't let him die.
Oh, shit.
I think this is fact.
You just reminded me of something earlier in the movie, and it's all with the donkey teeth. Earlier in the movie, when Jesus is in the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a scene where he falls to his knees and it looks like he's coming, like, exquisitely. Like, he's just having the best orgasm of his life.
Yeah.
And right here where Judas fucking gets, like, hangs himself, whatever. I picture his cum splattering on the donkey teeth.
Oh, shit.
Damn, son.
That's where I was at last night while watching.
Wow. Damn, dude.
The other night watching this movie in the Swamp Donk. Yeah. Caiaphas and his crowd of fucking religious zealots bring Jesus to Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor of Judea, to be condemned to death. So Pontius comes out here and he's like, all right, what did he do? And they're like, well, he said this and said that. And he's like, okay, but what did he do? And they're like, humana, 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 humana.
Right.
They have no idea. So they're like, all right, bring him back to fucking Herod. Herod is the guy that rules over Nazareth in that area. So bring him back to Herod.
Fucking boy right here, bro.
Dude.
Can't be bothered, bro.
Herod comes out wearing a fucking wig. He puts a wig on.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, he's having a sex orgy. He's having hedonistic activities are occurring.
Right. He's partying. Him.
Oh, yeah. He's nightclubbing.
Oh, for sure.
He's like, oh, can you perform miracles? Can you do this? Can you make me young? He's like asking him all kinds of shit to Jesus. And Jesus just looks at him and he's like, get this guy out of here. Fuck this guy.
He's like, you guys interrupted my orgy. I put on my wig for this, man.
This dude had.
I like the way he shoos away the Pharisees too. Sorry to cut you off, but the way he's like, no, 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 no,
no, no, no, no. Yeah, he's just shut your mouth. I'm gonna ask him my questions. But he's got the best incel beard of all time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Even though you know this dude's been macking his whole life, but he's got the best incel beard of all time. It's just the most neck beard of neck bearding. It's a 10. Jesus gets. Like the same as he did his fucking council, like shunning out away, and he goes back to fucking Pontius Pilate. I like these scenes here where Pilate is talking to his wife Claudia, and we were talking about this during our watch along. Like, behind every great man is a great woman that's running shit, actually, because he's looking to her and he's like, if I do this, then they're going to riot. If I do this, then they're going to riot. So no matter which way I go.
No matter what happens, I'm getting canceled.
Pretty much.
The cancellation of Pilate. And she's basically urging him, like, you don't need to do this to this guy, though. This guy don't need this shit. And Pilate does question Jesus. And he eventually decides, you know what? Once a year, I let someone free that's been in prison.
Oh, Lord.
Yeah,
this guy, bro.
This dude is a tatai. He's a real tatai.
He was, you know what? In real life, he was probably mad. He didn't understand. Like, he didn't speak the same language.
Uh-huh.
But, like, he would have been pissed if he'd have found out they were letting him out of jail, dude. This guy belongs in jail, dude. Even he knows it.
He thrives in jail.
Right.
This guy is the skunk ape.
Yeah,
he's the real life skunk ape.
Yeah, dude.
Pilate offers the crowd the angry. There's an angry crowd that brought Jesus back, and it's mostly made up of all of the followers of Caiaphas. And I'm going to say it for the story that it's all Jewish people. And right. But it's important to note.
Well, it's not all. There's Romans there too, but they're just like watching or
They're cucking.
But yeah, some of the Jews were mad at Jesus. You know, they were like, but it was like religious leaders and dipshits that were scared of losing power.
And I'm not saying it because I'm not saying nothing like against Jewish people. I'm just saying like in this story and in this time period, this was what was happening, and the outcry for this murderer, Barabbas, to be released. This guy comes out and he's looking stank. This dude is looking stank and grimy, with horrible teeth, dirty clothes, done shit. His butt crack is crusted over with the gingerbread man shit. He's got the Gary Busey in his butt crack.
A distinction or a difference between him and a Lord of the Rings orc is theoretical at best. This guy is a Tatai.
Yeah. And Pilate asks the crowd, and they're like, "Free Barabbas!"
Twice. Like, they say it.
Should I free? He says, he presents it. Should I free this rapist and murderer? Or should I free this guy who just talked? And they're like, "Free the fucking rapist and the murderer." And I'm like, "God damn.
That boy went." When I saw this, I was like, I hope he goes straight to Caiaphas's house and just like rips all the copper out of his air conditioning. Dude, like fuck Caiaphas, dude.
This is what's up. This is what's happening, man. They let this guy go. This dude walks through the crowd, high-fiving people out of there like he's fucking Bono from U2 walking through Africa.
And yeah, he's totally Bono.
Pilate's finally like, "You know what? Okay, I'm not going to have Jesus killed. I'm going to have him tortured. He's going to get flogged. And then we're going to let him go because I'm not going to murder this guy."
Right.
And he tells the Roman guards, like, "You know, scourge him, but don't kill him." And y'all, this is where we get to the first scene in the movie that it's tear-jerking.
I also want to point out that the distinction between orcs and these Roman guys, these guards, also theoretical at best. Because these guys are
nasty.
Like cartoonishly nasty and evil.
They're enjoying it dumb. Way too much.
And dumb. Like they've got to be on acid. And like so drunk,
but
you know?
Also,
like,
but also knowing how human beings can be towards each other.
Yeah,
yeah.
This is not so. Like, if you want to look at it from the perspective of like,
this is humanity right here. This is religion. This is finding any reason you can to hate someone. You know, like this is woke culture. This is everything that like sucks.
screams hatred for no reason other than I want to hate something. Yeah.
Yes. Right. So this is what stood out to me in this scene is you literally have a man on trial for the things he says because he didn't do anything. Like he said, what has he done?
Right.
What has he done that's criminal? And then you have somebody who is criminal. And what does the humanity in this scene choose? They choose the criminal. Mm-hmm. And I just think it's a very interesting scene. Even if you're just going to take away Jesus doing miracles,
right?
This is a man who did nothing and a man who has a record, and what is humanity freeing? I think it's an interesting just commentary on its own in that scene.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I get tear jerked at this scene because Jesus gets brought out to this pillar, he gets chained to it, and these silly ass orcs come out and they have like bamboo sticks or something,
mm-hmm.
and they're whipping him. And the marks are showing up. Mary.
I believe they're called Grissini. Sorry.
I see what you did. And now you think I'm the Greasy Strangler, don't you?
You probably think I'm the Greasy Strangler now, don't you?
Jesus was the Greasy Strangler, wasn't he? Is he doing it right,
Ricky? I never said that. Oh,
bullshit.
Am I doing it right, Janet? Sorry. I brought up the most minute fucking Greasy Strangler reference and Travis picked up on it and now we're getting stuck in a loop. I'm sorry too.
But I love it. I love it, Rick. They're beating my boy with breadsticks. Then they break out the cat of nine tails and they start whipping the fucking flesh off his ribs.
The ribs is the worst.
Oh,
I remember that part for sure.
That's terrible.
When I see the terrible ripping of the flesh and I see the exposure of the ribs and Mary Magdalene, Mary Mother of Jesus, and is it John? They're hanging out watching this and Claudia, almost called her Paula. Claudia brings them rags and towels, like, for when it's done, because they're gonna need some rags and towels to clean up the blood and to wash off her son. Yep. These motherfuckers are just laying into Jesus, bro. Like, laying in, laughing, snorting. I don't know. This is the kind of imagery the movie is even giving me after the fact. I picture snot and spittle tossing through the air from their laughter of, like, whipping this dude. Mm-hmm. It's that sadistic, it's that barbaric, and it's captured on film, and it's fucked up.
I wanted to comment, you mentioned John was there with his mom, with Jesus's mother.
Yeah.
But earlier, it was just interesting to me watching it. You know, Peter was willing to cut off an ear, but he didn't stick around for this. He's gone. But then... The other thing I picked up on this watch is the mother-son story that happens in this film that is heartbreaking. This is one of the first scenes that really pulls on those heartstrings of a mother watching her son be tortured.
Right. Absolutely.
They do.
The mommy stuff's rough, man. We'll get back to it some more.
Because they do that shit and they once this... There's this one Roman guard throughout the movie. This one guy who keeps running in every time it's too much and saying, guys, stop, like, calm down. It's not supposed to be this crazy, because he shows up now and he shows up again later. He comes in and he's like, chill out. Like, Pilate said, torture him. Do not kill him. Look.
He said, don't kill him by scourging him. Don't scourge him to death. The fuck, you know?
So they
didn't just whip, like, they at one point. They're exhausted and they're turning him around to whip him on the front instead of the back. It's like, god damn it, guys.
Oh, can you imagine those open wounds in the sand, rubbing in the sand?
Oh, yeah, boy.
Oh,
no,
I don't want to. This movie's a rough watch, man.
They're whipping this guy the way they beat his ass on Kung Pao, where they fucking beat the shit out of him. They're like, is he still awake? Oh, and they keep fucking hitting him. It's like, Jesus, man. Jesus, literally, man.
Yeah.
literally.
And they drag him away, blood smearing all over the fucking stone, in the sand, everything. And Mary goes and starts wiping the blood away. And this is another one of my favorite shots of the movie, where Mary she kneels down.
Yeah.
And she starts sniffing a crack.
Right. It looks like she's sniffing the floor. but then she turns her head really, like, almost animal like it's so instinctual, because she knows her son is underneath her, and I like that. I like that shot.
The camera pans down.
It's one of my favorites.
Right below her is Jesus looking up at her, and I'm like, damn, dude,
yeah, so good.
After Jesus has done got his ass destroyed, Caiaphas and the crowd bring Jesus back before Pilate, and he's like, all right, what's done?
I like
done.
This back and forth between them too, because, like, he's like, you need to really talk to me, because I can either hang you or let you go. And Jesus just looks at him and he's props to Jim. Like,
bad
Jim,
ass line.
Yeah.
Jim Caviezel can just act his ass off. And
yeah,
he just looks like he's in so much pain and so exhausted. And when he's like, anything that you can do to me is because of the power that has been given to you from above, and therefore it's the ones who brought me to you that will bear the burden of the sin, And it's not verbatim, but I just love that line. I love it.
He owns that scene. He owns his lines.
Shoes it up, dude.
Definitely. Well,
and also, I do want to point out the transition between Jesus at the very beginning of the movie and even this part right here. Mm-hmm. Right? Because, like, at the very beginning of the movie, he's struggling with this mm-hmm. hard. It's not easy to know what's about to happen to you, especially for this fucking movie and yes, this scene. Right. And to be like, help me, like, please, and then just be told, like, this is something you got to do, right? And in the movie definitely portrays he has several opportunities to opt out, right? Jesus right. could opt out. Like, the availability is there. The whole time, Satan's like, here, I'll help you. And then even with the fucking adjudicator, where he's like, talk to me, like, basically just give me a reason to not sentence you to death. And Jesus is just like, nah, bruh. The power you have is given to you. And he rides that shit through.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, very much so.
No, I think
he's like, hell no, nah, Putin.
Putin is given the choice and Putin decides, fuck it. The crowd's begging for his...
I think, I don't know if we mentioned it, and I don't remember if it was the scene when he's on that post being whipped, but another scene that speaks to the character, the person of who Jesus was while they're whipping him, doesn't he pray, like, Father, forgive them?
Oh, yeah, the whole time.
Like, while yeah. they are ripping the flesh from his ribs, he is forgiving them. And that's yeah. something my human brain
no.
cannot no. comprehend.
Right.
Not even...
cannot understand it.
I would be like, fuck y'all.
I hope Barabbas steals all y'all's copper pipes. And I hope he bangs your wife.
Yeah. That's one of those scenes when he says that's where I like choke up to see him in yeah. such a brutal state forgiving the people who are beating him.
Yeah, it's true. It takes a certain kind of person to be able to do that shit.
A big ball on that person. Barabbas. Barabbas is set free. Putin is basically like, oh, shit. They want him dead. So he's like, you know what? All right, fine. Fuck it. Crucify this motherfucker. But I'm going to wash my hands clean, like Ricky said. Wash it clean. His blood is not on my hands. Caiaphas, this is on you. Jesus gets the fucking thorn crown pushed on his head.
This guy takes a drink of wine and spits it at him.
They're yeah. spit.
The alcohol stinging on those wounds. I was like, that is savage.
They spit on him a lot too. Like that happens even before this scene. I forgot yeah. that they spit in this man's face a lot.
Ugh. That's half of why they're so dehydrated, bro. They're just exhausted, just spitting everywhere and beating them up and shit.
Can't be spitting like that in this climate.
They give up their water so freely. Not very Fremen. Not very Fremen of them. Just saying.
Jesus is tasked, along with two other condemned, to carry wooden crosses to the road to Golgotha, where Satan observes through the crowd Jesus' suffering with sadistic pleasure. And this is where Satan has that little fucked up troll baby.
Yeah, the little Danny yeah, DeVito thing. Someone said that last night in the Discord, and I was like, oh shit.
Along the way, Jesus is constantly harassed by the guards who just keep whipping I'm like, you want this guy to carry the
they
cross
just
or
don't
not?
Stop, dude. They just never stop.
They never stop. Never.
Y'all are really still like this hours later? Like, y'all are just happened to you?
Do you notice in this scene that the other two are just carrying the cross beam.
Yeah.
Jesus is supposed to carry the entire thing.
Yeah. Right.
Well, he's the king of the Jews. They mad at that. They don't like that. Yeah. They don't like it.
Right.
So he's got to carry the whole cross. And he eventually sees his mother, who comforts him. And this scene is the other scene that jerks my tears. Where
so bad. Mm-hmm. Where he's a kid, where it flashes back because So he stumbles. He's, you know, he's only been beaten for 14 hours so yeah. far today. Yeah. So he stumbles and drops the cross. And as he's falling, the transition back and forth between him as a child falling down and his mom terrified and running to see about her child and comforting him it's just done so beautifully. And yeah, this is the part of the movie that gets me welling up.
Like, I openly sobbed at this scene.
Yeah, I admit it.
This scene got me. And also, you're throughout this whole scene, you're seeing his blood on the cross that he's carrying, and it gets worse and worse as it progresses. And it's just one of those little details in the filmmaking process that is paid very close attention to, and it's visceral to see this man is bleeding for hours as he carries this.
And I'm wondering, it's
good attention to detail.
I'm wondering how many Olive Gardens are like, oh, all of this tomato sauce going to waste. Oh, we could have so much pasta. Oh, Jesus is a blood.
After the bread, after beating with the breadsticks earlier.
Right, yeah.
In the salad and breadstick beatings at the Olive Garden.
Uh-huh. The Olive Golgothan.
The Olive Golgothan. No, this scene definitely does, yeah, man. It fucks me up. But his mom does comfort him as he's carrying the cross, just like she did when he was a child. And the guards pull her away. And he has to keep going, but they find this other dude, this unwilling crowd member, Simon, to help Jesus carry the cross. And he at first he's unwilling, but then he's like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's go.
He's a good guy, dude. He's a good dude.
And he helps Jesus carry that cross. And at the end of the journey, Mary Magdalene, John, and others are sitting there. And they witness the fucked up. It's if you've seen a human being tortured this much with the depth of what this movie is, and now we get to this part, and if you know your history and especially if you were brought up in it, to see it depicted to this scale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's
powerful, man.
Mm-hmm.
It's heavy. I would say it's pretty real heavy.
It's a hard watch.
I'd say now's a good time because I was thinking about this on the Chuddle scale, well, not the Chuddle scale, but like the Goro meter. And I was like, you know, I love movies where someone gets their dick ripped off and put in their mouth and then their face gets peeled off and then a blender goes up their asshole and comes out of their brain.
Yeah.
I love it. I'll,
God damn.
Dude, I'll watch it. I'll watch it and I'll be so happy.
Yes.
But there's some, but this film isn't, I mean, there's a realism to it, but it's also, it's like, okay, if we put it on a gore scale, we see some ribs and we see some blood and some sinew and stuff, but it's just the consistency because it never stops and it never goes away. So, I mean, like it's almost like, yeah, the gore is there, but it's not bad, but it's the consistency. It just never stops. Never, ever.
And I think it's what you're saying, the realism of it and the heaviness of it. Yeah.
It's an exhausting watch.
It's fucked. And when you also, this way,
yeah. I also appreciate the way Mel filmed it doesn't revel in it.
Right.
It's never glorifying the gore. It is enough for you to understand what's happening, what's going on, to be realistic without being gratuitous.
Tim, one of my favorite shots is when they break out the cat of nine tails and they slam it on that table first.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And they have trouble ripping it out the wood.
Yep.
And a piece comes
off of it.
That gives you a clear indication in your mind of what's about to happen to this man's flesh.
Yes. Right. I've heard people, like, I have heard some scholars of Roman history, period, as well as biblical history, say that this movie actually kind of probably tames down the actual damage that would have been done.
Yeah, I think his guts would have been hanging out.
Oh.
Especially if they spanking him on the front with that thing.
Oh.
Guts are coming out, dude. Straight up. It's horrible.
They whipped the shit out of him, bro.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Cat of Nine Tails was designed to rip your flesh apart. So
it's horrible.
It makes me
think of Terrifier.
I know we do jokes on here, but at this point in the movie, I don't know if there's anything funny to be said because, it's kind of fucked.
It's just hard. This is hard to watch.
They end up giving my boy the stigmata, but in real life, because they fucking drill nails through his hands, nails through his feet.
With some square hammers.
Again, depicting it beautifully. if that can be done.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was, in my opinion, here. But beautiful shots of viscera and fucked. And Jesus is mounted on the cross along with the other two criminals. And here begins the crucifixion ritual. He's hanging there and he starts praying to God to forgive his tormentors. He prays for salvation. He provides salvation, actually, for the other two condemned with him.
Yeah. That's another scene that gets me, man.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I mean, the guy to his right is basically like, hey,
fuck you.
Remember me, senpai. No, the guy on the right. The guy on the left was definitely like, fuck you. Fuck all of this.
He gets his eye crowed out.
Yeah.
Well, I thought there couldn't be jokes, but fuck y'all.
Yeah. But the guy on the right's like, notice me, senpai. Forgive me, senpai.
I think what he says in that scene is what chokes me up. Like, as somebody who grew up in it, went away and came back, this is this scene gets me because he says, I deserve to be up here for what I've done. I deserve this. This man does not. And then just he's like, you know, I don't deserve anything good. I deserve what's coming to me. And he believes in, remember me when you go to your kingdom. And then Jesus's answer is, you will be there with me, is just so powerful to me.
I kind of teared up at this one because Jesus was like, I'll see you in paradise. And
I'm
like,
yes. Oh, it's the way he says it, dude, because he's in so much pain. Just to talk, talk is so exhausting and painful. It's so rough. But the way he says paradise, it just hits.
After a while, Jesus does succumb to his wounds. There's a Roman soldier that takes the Spear of Destiny and stabs it in his side to make sure he's done for. And when Jesus submits his spirit and dies, there's a thunder in the heavens and a crackle in the earth, and Satan screams from hell.
What's he say, though? Father, into your hands I commend my spirit.
Yes.
Yeah, dude. It's just a very great lyric that you could find. Yeah,
a system of a down.
System of a down.
Right. True. True.
Your hands,
my spirit.
Fall into the hands. I have you forsaken
me, and your eyes forsaken me.
I guess we found the ending song.
Okay.
Well, I had Jesus Christ was an Only Child by Modest Mouse, but yeah, that'll work too.
Do you have a moment to, like, the process of crucifixion?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know about this? This is brutal, and it's not even depicted. Like, it's so tame, honestly, what we see in this. Like, Jesus died 21 hours faster than most people who crucified were expected to.
Yeah,
so he died roughly in about 3 hours, I want to say. You are expected to live about 24.
I'm out.
Yeah. So you see them break the legs of the victims so that they can't stand. You see that in the movie.
Yeah, it puts more weight on their extremities and forces them to bleed and suffocate because they can't breathe because their lungs are being crushed.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
Crucifixion
is a
motherfucker.
So there was a big earthquake when he died, and then the whole earth split open and shit.
Yeah. And their temple got destroyed because he was like, basically, before the 3 days are out, like, I'll bring your temple down on you, essentially.
And then they're like, oh shit.
There was a single tear that fell from heaven and split the earth. That was God's tear.
The effect was a little rough, but the shot was beautiful.
I agree. That's exactly what I thought. I was like, man, this shot, that upward from above shot, is so gorgeous.
The reason it looks so good, too, is because from the camera's point of view, you see the ground below, but then it gets foggy, and then the tear drops. And that's the beauty of that shot, is that the reason the camera got foggy is because the tear welled up in God's eye and fell to earth. That shit is, to think about doing a shot like that is like, wow. Like, it's so simple, but so amazing. Like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm blown away by that shot. Satan screaming from hell.
also dope.
Yeah. And then Jesus gets taken down from the cross, and Mary.
And the
all...
next, the best shot of the film right here, because it just looks like a lot of shots in this movie just look like fucking paintings. You know? Like,
oh, I'm pretty sure they're based on the paintings, but yeah.
Right. Yeah. I'm sure they are. Okay. But like, even before, like, in your favorite scene, Tim, when Paul's just kind of watching the beginning of the trial. And he's like up against the wall and he looks like he's trying to be a gecko. Like it's such an unnatural position. And, but like there's something so uncanny valley about those shots of him, especially because it's like, no, he wouldn't be up against the wall like he's trying to hide. Not like that, but I don't know. There's something really spooky for it.
There's almost like Renaissance painting esque features to some of these shots.
Like his position.
Yeah. It's like it's the way he's positioned. Yeah. It's scary. It's off-putting. Yeah. Agreed.
Absolutely. Beautiful.
And in the final scene of the movie, after they put Jesus in his tomb, they put him under a shroud, what is famously now the Shroud of Turin.
Right.
Yeah.
We see a shot of the shroud slowly deflating.
Mm-hmm.
And not quite the entire shot of Jesus, but enough of him walking out of his tomb with the puncture wounds from his crucifixion visible in his palms.
I love you, Trevor.
Yeah, thank you, Jesus. Amen.
So this is...
I'll be back.
Yeah.
This is one of those scenes that they gloss over a little too quick in the movie. So, because it's mentioned many times throughout the film that he will destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days. And this is what he's talking about. So when he died, he destroyed the temple, but him being resurrected was rebuilding it.
Yeah, and also he had he had like a 5-gallon bucket of 2-part. So he was about to 2-part the entire temple back together.
JB welded that shit.
Yeah. Yes. God damn, Trevor.
JB welded the temple.
Trevor's still doing it. I can't even believe it. Oh my God. Yes, so thank you, Jesus, for J.B. Weldon, the goddamn thing, back to life.
Yeah.
Your soul is forever with us.
Yes, that's what we like to call the Jesus blessing adhesive.
Jesus blessing.
It's approved by the Catholic Church.
Yes, right. Approved and sold by the Catholic Church.
So that was Passion of the Christ, Mel Gibson's divisive biblical epic. That came out so many years ago, and I can't wait for part two. Hope to God that happens. Final thoughts and ratings on Passion of the Christ. I will kick us off. Like Ricky said, or at least what he said made me think of it in the way I thought of it, is like this movie is like Renaissance painting after Renaissance painting. It's beautiful shot after beautiful shot. It's epic dialogue pulled from the Bible, which is full of a lot of epic dialogue. Undeniable, right. There. It's a story that we all know and grew up with. And the way that Mel Gibson and crew portrayed it on screen is to me brutal and magnificent at the same time. It's a gut-wrenching movie to watch. Can you have fun watching it? Yeah, I think you can because we did the other night in the Swamp Donkey, but
we did our best.
we tried to have as much fun as you can. But right. with a movie like this, this is a serious movie and it's meant to be taken seriously. On a technical level and even on a message level and the way that I come away like from this movie feeling, this movie is a 10. I don't see anything wrong with this movie and I'm not religious. So I feel like only religious people would have an axe to grind. Now, if you say the movie's too slow and it's just torture porn, I'm like, but are you really watching the movie though? Because it's not just constant torture. It's not.
With an open mind, yeah.
The consistency of the gore is there, but it's not a complete torture porn movie.
I look at it as it's just a true presentation of what Jesus was going through, right? Because, I mean, ultimately, the sacrifice that he makes, whether even if you don't believe, but like that history believes or shows anyway, in some kind of way, is he went through all that for you fucks.
Right.
I'm just saying, like, the whole point is it's not about being torture porn. It's about showing the crazy shit that Jesus went through for his beliefs. And that just draws back to what I was saying earlier, which was Jesus had outs the entire time. He had several different ways to get out of that situation if he would have just been like, yeah, I'm not doing this. But instead, he stayed the course. Because even though it was preordained and all this other shit, Jesus had a choice and he chose to be systematically slaughtered and then crucified for you. It don't matter if you believe in his divinity. This motherfucker did this.
Believing it.
Believing that he was doing right. Whether you want to believe the faith side and the religion and all this other bullshit, this motherfucker went through all that shit thinking that he was helping you. How many people do you know would do that?
Right.
Oh, fuck.
Just saying.
That's intense to think about. That's a hard question to pose and to actually contemplate and follow through with it.
But that's the point. But that's the point of the movie. It's not about the gore. It's about the what would you do? What did he do? Look at what he fucking did. And tell me.
What would Jesus do?
You know, it was supposed to supposed to make you feel uncomfortable. It was supposed to make you feel the way you felt, right? Because that's what he went through, and it's supposed to make you feel bad, kind of, in a way. To be like, hey, fucking repent, bitch, because Jesus did this for you.
Well, Trev, I think I know your final rating on this movie.
Well, I mean, yeah. But, I mean, much like many of my religious arguments, I can make a case for this movie without actually bringing God into it, right? It's a well fucking made movie with really great imagery, a great storyline. It holds true. I don't really feel like it's a very slow movie, right? It has the build up. It has the payoff. I maybe would have wanted to see the Pharisees just get their comeuppance at the end, but it is a Jesus movie. So I don't expect to see it, but I would have been happy to see it.
That'll be in the sequel.
I hope so. But yeah, I mean, this movie's
just
a
beating
team,
their ass
man.
In hell. The like, Pharisees. He's like, the demons are surrounding him, and he's like, no, 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 no,
Damn, Bob.
I need like a moment watch. With these Pharisees, fellas.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a fucking 10. It's you don't have to be religious. You could just appreciate film for what it is and how it's made. This movie is well shot. It has a really great storyline. It has a great message. And it's executed well. Like, really good. Okay? So, I don't need the religious context of the movie to tell me that this is an amazing fucking made movie. And it's a 10. I mean, it's that simple.
Boomsies.
Rickle Bickles.
I mean, like, I could echo Trevor because, like, you know, I'm not a believer anymore, but I was at one point, and I've officially seen the movie in full twice. The first time I saw it, I was a believer, and I sobbed like a little baby the whole time. the second time I'm a little bit older and a little bit removed, but dude, like, yeah, I cried a little bit watching this, and it's a rough watch. That being said, I think it's quality is 10 out of 10. Like, this is a beautiful looking, sounding, thematic film. And we didn't touch on the sound design a lot, but it is so good.
The part where they do the stone throwing scene.
Yeah. The Mary Magdalene scene was so good. Perfect.
When he draws that line in the sand and the sand's exploding.
Floating up out of the cracks.
Oh. Yeah. Zack Snyder slow motion.
Yeah.
It's so good. Yeah. Anyway, this movie deserves to be a 10 for me, but I just can't watch it. Like, watching it two nights in a row was exhausting. And so,
what do you give it?
In my heart, it's an 8.
Okay. Well, because I'm giving it a 12 now. So
okay, that's fine.
Rounding it up.
You can carry that cross for me, bud. Because fuck,
I got you. Bud.
I got you. Like, is it a 10? Like, it deserves to be, but it's not something I could watch every day.
Can we have this brief little tangent? Does something have to be able to be watched every day to be a 10?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I wouldn't say.
I'm not going to say you'd have to watch it.
It's not like Days of Thunder where I watched the shit out of that, or Top Gun.
It's a question to ponder.
Fuck it. It's a 10. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at my letterbox, I thought about it and gave it an 8 because I was like, man, I don't know if I ever want to see this again. So I factored that into my score.
The reason I say it is because of Antichrist. I don't ever want to watch that movie again, but like, I know it's a 10, but I don't ever want to watch it again. Skinamarink is a 10, but I don't know when I'm going to watch it again. I might eventually,
you say that, yeah,
but I don't know when. That's true. But I know though, deep down, and I'm not questioning your score. Your
right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So no, if you feel in your heart that it's an 8, it's an 8.
But it's a 10, though. It deserves to be a 10.
It's a 9.9.
Yeah. No, your heart says 10. Your brain says 8, but your heart says 10.
Yeah. Maybe that's what it is.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Telling me no.
It's a good thing we're all cardiologists here because we're going with your
heart. Ross Paul, what you think about this movie and what you rate it?
I wish I would have watched it with you guys the other night, but I just couldn't. So it's been a long time since I've seen it, but I remember it being very heavy. And I agree with what Mr. Deadpool said, pretty much a 10, like, because I couldn't find anything wrong with it. And it affected to me, if a film
moves you.
Yeah. If you feel something, it did its job on it. If all the boxes are checked, it's good. And it checked all the boxes. So 9.9.
There you go.
All right, well, I'm now at a 10.1, so.
I'm waiting for that, that's why.
Yeah.
Cody Co., what's your final thoughts and ratings on Passion of the Christ?
It's a powerful film from performances, cinematography. Oh. It's a dark, heartbreaking, great story that's executed to perfection, man. It's a 10.
Dang.
Hell yeah, Cody. Hell yeah. Right here.
Everybody pretty much said, like, you know.
Yeah, everyone's just coming in basically the same.
It's a 10. It's a 10. It is.
I could have went the other way and just said it did nothing for me. My nipples didn't get hard once. I just fucking hated it.
Yeah, I know. Like, your dick got hard, but your nipples didn't. So you were confused. Jeez.
He had to rub some wet cheese on his nipples and get him really, really hard. I wasted
so much money on Lubriderm and Kleenex.
And even after all that, he was like, man, it's not enough grease.
Tim, slip and slide us home. Oh, what's your final thoughts and ratings on this Passion of the Christ?
You're making me second guess. The story for me is a 10. I think the whole opening, the Garden of Gethsemane stuff, is pretty melodramatic compared to the rest of the movie. So for me, that part, I was like you said, there's that scene where it straight looks like Jesus is having an orgasm over in the bushes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's yeah. like, it's yeah. just, there's some weird choices I think in that early part.
For sure.
Even me watching this, I'm like, that's a weird shot. That's weird choice.
Sometimes those weird choices elevate the movie for me.
It aided the plot line. It aided the plot line. I'm just saying.
So I think the story for me is a 10. The film itself, I want to say it's a 9, because of that only beginning. The beginning 9.1. Part. Yeah, just down 1.
All right, so now I'm at 11.1.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, Trevor really said...
Ooh, we got some high-res ratings.
Trevor really said most of what I would about... Like, for me, I struggle to watch it because it reminds me of all the times I've been a little shithead. And, like, that's what I think when I watch that movie. I'm like, this man is taking that punishment. And that's what that visual representation is. And I think even if you're not a believer, it's tough to watch this heroic figure. Even if we compare it to like Dune 2 just came out and Paul Atreides is supposed to be this heroic savior, but he doesn't go through the shit Jesus did.
No.
And this makes it so much more visceral.
Yeah, this movie literally shows the best and worst of mankind, technically.
Yeah.
Right.
Like true heroism is based on what we see in this movie, that taking everything for people who don't deserve it so that they can continue to live. And that's what I always, that's emotional no matter how it's depicted for me, whether it's this story or if it's depicted in Lord of the Rings or if it's depicted in any movie, maybe. That kind of true heroism strikes a chord. And it just, like, for me, I believe. So it strikes an extra level of emotion because I sit there and I'm like, this is my fault, you know? Right. So it hits me a little different.
So it's a 9 out of 10?
I'm back at 10.1.
I'll go 10. It's a 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Nice.
Holy shit.
Nightclub 10 out of 10.
Right. Look, you watched it wrong by yourself, and then you talked to us, and now you know the truth of things.
I want to thank Tim from The Average Podcast for being on tonight. Everyone go and find Tim on Apple and Spotify and everywhere you can find podcasts. Hell,
catch me on there coming up soon with him.
Yeah.
You're coming up. Travis is coming up.
Hell yeah.
We got an Event Horizon episode to do, so that's going to be
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
We can just make it a full crossover.
I'll have our people talk to y'all's people.
I am my people.
And I am his people.
Yeah. Even better.
I also want to thank Ross Paul, the goddamn actor extraordinaire
and friend of the show. Over here. We love him.
Love you, Ball. Thank you for being on the episode.
Appreciate you coming, bud.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. You guys are awesome.
Embrace the cross of your neighbor and friend, or you'll get the fucking belt from me.
Damn, boy. Right.
Embrace getting rich or die trying. Fuck you, Judas.
Right.
Praise the Lord and keep it real.
Stay spooky and say your prayers, bitches.
You wanted to, why don't think you trust?
We're starting over. Bienvenue.
No.
Bouet de nuit. Welcome to the nightclub.
Damn.
Life of Brian is always the bright side of life.